Praise God. Good to see y'all. We'll pray again. I know Nate's prayed. I like to pray again. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've given to us and all that you've done for us and all that you are to us tonight. Father, we're thankful that you are a safe place for us, that you are a strong tower, that we have the hiding place where we can go to, the secret place of the Most High, where we can hide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Father. It's a place that we can live and abide and dwell, make our home. It's somewhere, Father, where we don't have to be afraid, that we have no reason to fear tonight, that you are with us and you are for us and you are in us. And tonight, we have no reason to be afraid. In Jesus' name, we declare that we are free from fear. And we're free from that harassment and the anxiety and all that comes from fear. We are free from that tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. And Father, now we just look to you as we delve into the Word and the things you've given us tonight. We look to you to reveal yourself to us, to reveal your plans, reveal, Father, what your heart to us tonight, and help us to see things the way you see them. We thank you so much for doing that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I just wanted to share a quick testimony before we go on. You know, we're doing this one generosity experience, one heart generosity experience. And, you know, as the person probably that receives the offering most often here, at least I do it on Sunday mornings where it feels like there's more pressure, you know, because there's more people here. And people look more uncomfortable Wednesday night. They're like, whatever. But Sunday morning, people can glare at you. But anyway, sometimes you feel a little, you know, it's not that easy. Those of you who've received the offering, it's not necessarily that easy to do, you know, because you're talking to people about something that they spend all week trying to get and then, you know, spend most of their time trying to hang on to, you know. And so it's, you know, and then you're dealing with heart issues because, like he just read, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. And people's hearts are all tied up with their money. You know, that's a representation of what you do. So you're not just dealing with people's money. You're dealing with their hearts in a very direct way. And so you have all that. But anyway, just as a testimony of what you give into whenever you come to Good News Church. For those of you who've sown, those of you given to One Heart on Sunday, those of you who tithe here, I want to just share something with you. Last summer, y'all remember that Jose's testimony, Jose Vega's testimony about a guy that was out cutting the grass of his business, a guy that he knew his mom and had led his mother to the Lord several months before this, and then he just had that unction on a Saturday when he was really busy and had no reason to. He had that unction to just stop what he was doing for a minute and share the gospel with Bobby. And y'all have heard the story, and he did. And Bobby got saved, and he had such an experience of when he was saved that Jose was compelled to get out his video, you know, his iPad and videotape him because he was having such a reaction. He was saying, "Man, what did you do to me? What did you do to me?" It was just really awesome, like that he had done something to him. Well, he did do something to him. He introduced him to the Lord, and God's power came on him. But it just like really had a really strong reaction to it. And that was on Saturday, and I think it was Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? What day was that? Tuesday, Bobby was killed instantly in a very tragic car crash, very terrible accident. He was a young man. He was 22 years old. Well, it was such a stark reminder that nobody's promised tomorrow, in the sense that eternity's out there waiting on all of us. And for some people, you know, we think we all, you know, trust in God that we're going to live to a ripe old age. But you know, people, things happen to people, and you know, eternity comes, and what's going to happen to somebody? And that was just such a stark reminder. And a lot of wonderful things have happened. That God didn't do that. That was the enemy. But God, I tell you, God had the victory in that. One of the things that happened out of it is that Jose had the, for whatever reason, he'd had that unction to record him, and we had that video of Bobby, and that was a real comfort to people that saw it, that knew him, and we've had a lot of testimonies. People have been touched by that. But right after that, Nate and Harry videoed Jose giving the testimony of what happened and then included Bobby's part in it and showed the picture of the accident and the whole thing. And then at the end, Jose prays, offers to pray on the video with whoever would be viewing it, pray the same prayer with them that he prayed with Bobby. And we've had over 10,000 people view that on YouTube. Nate put it up on our YouTube channel, and I know a number of you have shared that on your Facebook or through email with people. And it's been great. And then, you know, when we were in Australia in August, that went before us, and there were people who'd seen it and people there, and that's when I told you they were even playing that in India and things. Well, today, I mean, that was last August that that we had that video. And today, Jose forwarded me a message that someone had sent him just today, and it just reminds you how, you know, the things of God just go on and on. It reminds me of his deeds of righteousness will go on and on and on, that when it's talking about that blessed man, the righteous man in Psalm 112, where it talks about his deeds of righteousness will go on and on. That's what that reminded me of, Jose, that's something that happened, how God can use it. And it was, he got an email today from Heather, and Heather said, "I watched this story today at my computer in my home. I have had several people in my past ask me if I was ready to do this, and I always said no, but today was different. I watched in tears, barely able to breathe, and then I repeated after Jose, 'I want to thank you for putting this out for the world to see. I do not know where I stand from here, but I'm almost sure I will find the way. For now, I know I'm not alone as he walks right beside me and in my heart. Thank you.'" Isn't that awesome? And she sent that to Jose, and of course, Jose is following up with her, and he's putting together some materials, and, you know, because she contacted him, now he has a way to minister to her and to continue ministering to her. I don't know where she lives. Do you have any idea where she lives? We don't even know where she lives. But through, you know, the electronic media, I'm telling you, isn't it awesome? But anyway, I'm just so thankful that you just see how God works. Jose has been here, and he's been being, you know, equipped and empowered and learning some things. And then he's learned to follow the Holy Spirit, just had that unction that many of you have had. His was just what happened made it more dramatic. But many of you have the same testimony of sharing the gospel with somebody. But because Bobby's life ended early, it made it a real dramatic thing. And the way the whole thing happened, it just was set up to be a great testimony. And so, like a stark reminder to people that, you know, that eternity's coming. And for Bobby, it came really quick. But thank God it was a good end for him. The Bible says to die is to gain. That was a good end for him. But and here we are almost a year later, and people are still being impacted. And we haven't seen the end of it, you know, just one thing. But that just shows you all the different elements that was done on equipment that many of you gave towards last summer. You gave towards this equipment. We were able to do that, put it together, and Nate and Harry worked on that, and then, you know, many of you spread that out, and that may be something that one of you spread to somebody. You know, we don't even know where it came from, where she heard about it, so it might have been something that you forwarded to somebody, and she got a hold of it. Isn't that awesome how all those things... how those things work together? We are a body working together, and it's really, and you have a part in that. I just wanted to just share that with you tonight and just remind you that you have a part in that. And I was glad. I felt like I hit a home run when I read that myself. I was just very elated, happy for Heather, and really happy for all those other people that sowed seeds before that one. You know, think about that with you, all the people you've sown seeds with. Think about that over the years. You've sown seeds with people. Maybe you didn't see a harvest. Well, you know, there you go. They had sown seeds, and they had prepared it. So when she heard that today, it just pricked her heart, and she was able to receive. Praise God. Well, tonight I'm going to talk about something that, you know, it's a little weird for me. A lot of things I talk about I think are weird for me. But anyway, this is just a little weird. I'm going to talk to you tonight about values for a few minutes. I want to talk about values. And, you know, I don't fully understand exactly why I'm talking about this, but just even in the last few minutes, I think I've seen some more about it. But basically this, all of us have values. And values are, you know, what guides us. They're a set of beliefs and things that guide us. And basically values are concepts or ideas that you hold in high esteem and consider to be important. So it's an idea or concept, something that's important to you. Now, we're all here tonight, and there are some values that we all share, but yet there are values that would differ among us. Some things that are really important to you, I don't really give a flip about. And some things that might be really dear to my heart, you know, you could take it or leave it. So, you know, not everybody doesn't have the same values. And here are some I just wrote down just quickly, just some that popped in my mind. Loyalty, compassion, dependability, excellence, financial independence, generosity, fun, intelligence, neatness, popularity, truth. These are some things that might be, one of these or several of these might be actual values for you. These are just things that you, it's a concept or an idea that you hold in high esteem. And, you know, the thing about values that makes them so, you know, interesting and something we should talk about is because our values really govern our lives. Our values, whether we even recognize what our values are, if we even know what we value, we may not even recognize it. You may never have made a list of them. You may not have ever really thought about what personally are my values. But I can tell you this, the decisions that you've made in your life are a reflection of what you value. What you do with your money is a big reflection of your values. That's what Jesus said, where your heart, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, what's going on, what you're doing with your money, you're putting your money ultimately towards what you value. You know, if I come to your house and you have a big bass boat, you got all your rods and reels and you got all your equipment out there and everything, you know, I would know something about your values. I'd know you value getting out on the lake and, you know, catching the big one. And it may be a little deeper than that. It may be that when you were a kid, you spent a lot of time with your dad on the lake. And that was a time where you could, you know, connect with him. So it really might be a reflection of something even deeper. And it may be that that was a place that you found peace. Or maybe it's a place you find, you know, solace. Maybe it's a place that you can get away to. And really what that represents for you is, I got to get away from this chaos that is my life. You know, there's a lot of things that could be reflected, but I could definitely look at that and say, there's something here. You know, if Neil has this big bass boat and all these, you know, I can't really imagine that right now, but, you know, that says something about what you value. There's something going on there, and we could have a little talk about it, and maybe we could delve into what's going on here. So all of us have values, and it determines so much about us as people, who we are. And so I want to show you some things from the scripture about values and just talk about a little. I want to read the scripture from Philippians 1, and I'm going to read in the Amplified if my friend Andrew, who values putting scriptures up on the screen for me, if he will put that up, I'm going to read that part of that scripture. Philippians 1, now this is the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. In verse 10, it's actually part of a prayer that he prayed, but this really speaks of values, this what he's talking about. And he says this, verse 10 of Philippians 1, so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences. Paul's praying this. This is part of his prayer for the church at Philippi. And he's talking to them really about that you would learn to sense what is vital. And that you would learn to approve and to prize what is excellent and of real value. And I think the reason he's praying this for the church at Philippi, and really you could pray this for any Christian, you could pray it for yourself, is because we all of us come to the table when we come to Christ, when we come to Jesus, when we come into the family of God, when we get to know the Lord, we come with a set of values that came from our past. And those we were under the influence of others. A lot of the values you have, whether you recognize it or not, you got from your family. Now, I'll talk more about that in a minute, but you got them from your family, a lot of them. You've been influenced by other things as well, but that's really one of the big places your values came from. But he said here, he's praying for them that they would learn to sense what is vital, because maybe they couldn't sense what is vital. And that's the same place when we come to the Lord. We probably haven't been sensing what is vital. And we haven't been approving and prizing what is excellent and of real value. And we haven't recognized the highest and the best and been able to distinguish the moral differences. Because, see, the world has its values. The world system promotes certain values. And we can talk about that just for a minute. What are some of the things that you see, maybe these are values you used to hold, you know, in high esteem, but what are some of the things that you see that the world values? There's no wrong answer. Image, actually, have that right here. It's number 3 on my list. Look at us. We matched. All right. Image. The world values image. It's all about image. What are some other things? Money, wealth, stuff. Absolutely. accumulating treasure, you know. What else? What other people think. I have outward appearances. Of what other people think. What else? Somebody said something over here. Popularity. I have that on my list too. We're doing so well. We're matching here tonight. Yeah, these are not the right answers, but these are my answers. Very good. Popularity. Yeah, that's kind of like what other people think too. You know, what other people think. What are some other things? Respect. World values. Respect. You know, you want to be respected, especially among men. Men have a great need to be respected. That's why the Bible instructs us to, as wives, to respect our husbands, because they really need that. There's a clue. All right. What are some other things? I'll just tell you what I wrote. You can tell me some of your things if you come up with it. That I see, the world values control or power, having control or power. The world values charm. They like to be charmed. The world values entertainment. They like to be entertained. The world values safety and being safe. That's like a strong value that's in the world. And you might think, well, that's, don't we all value that? And yeah, we may all value being safe. Yeah, I'm not saying that, but I'm going to contrast it in just a moment. Safety, knowledge, accumulating big knowledge, great knowledge. The world values the concept of getting rich quick. That's why there was such a fervor several weeks ago when that jackpot on the lottery was so big. Because, man, the promise of that. Woo-hoo-hoo! You know. These are just some of the things. Luxury. There's just some things we could just go on and on about. What?
Sound bites.
Like sound bites.
Span, yeah. Immediate gratification.
Immediate gratification. Yeah. Immediate gratification. Give it to me now. That's like the get rich quick. Give it to me now. What? Laziness. Have an influence. These are some of the things. Yeah. Laziness being doing as little as possible. Taking the easy way. The easy way. In comfort. You know, not troubling myself. Not, you know, not going to too much trouble. Right. Laziness. That's, you know. Wouldn't you say that's the way, some of the things the world values, and you may, you know, may have some more. Now, the way that the things the world values are not necessarily the things that God values. And, you know, it's interesting if you read, because when I was preparing for this, I was just thinking thing after thing would keep popping up. And I realized so much of what Proverbs is God imparting to us, trying to impart to us his values. He's showing us. If you read through Proverbs and you read some of the things, you see what God values and what the world values are not the same. Those things are not the same. And Proverbs really contrasts that. And here's one right here just that I just wrote down. I was just thinking. A faithful man will go about with blessings. So it's talking about a faithfulness. You see, the world doesn't value. The world system doesn't value faithfulness. I'll be sold to the highest bidder. You know, if I can get by, see, faithfulness is doing the job and being faithful to your employer and faithful to the job. But what you're saying is just take it, you know, do as little as possible that you can get by with. That's not faithfulness. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So what God is showing through Proverbs, if you read, there's so many Proverbs that are talking about, here's the way that people in the world are. This is the way that we've all, you know, if you let the world determine and dictate your values, that's the way you'll go. And he's really challenging us. There's something else. And, you know, while the world values knowledge, and I think we all value knowledge to a certain degree, there's something greater than knowledge. What? Wisdom. Wisdom is greater than knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge you have. See, because there are people that have great knowledge, but they don't know what to do with it. Did any of y'all see the movie The Social Network about the guy that founded Facebook? That's a very interesting movie about the values of just seeing how people are influenced. And if he was anything like... If he was anything like how he's portrayed to be in the movie, I'm telling you, the guy's really goofed up. Really goofed up. But, you know, you just see the world playing out before you and the values that people have. But anyway, I see in Proverbs, God saying to us, have wisdom, be faithful. It says a lot about not being a sluggard, about working hard. That's huge. Justice, fairness to others. The Bible, Proverbs talks a lot about being fair and being just with others. Faithfulness, generosity, talks about generosity. See, the world does not value generosity. The world values you amassing everything you can. Trusting God, serving others. And that's one of the things about safety is you can, even as a Christian, think safety is, that's a big thing. I just want to be safe. I want to be safe. But that's really not God's value. God's value is I will take care of you. Trust me. Instead of you being so concerned yourself about safety. And I see that in a lot of people's lives. They're not really faith people. And by faith people, I don't mean you go around quoting confessions all the time. I mean you really trust God. That's what faith is. When you're living by faith, you're living in a place of being dependent on God and you're trusting in Him. You're just daily trusting in God. I've just, even in the last couple of weeks, really been thinking about what does it mean to live by faith? It means you're living your life in such a way that you are dependent on God. And if He's not real and if He doesn't come through, then you're washed up. Then you're done. But see, the world likes safety. You got to prepare for everything. You got to save for the rainy day. You got to put everything aside. You got to build up big barns and stuff them full. And when they get full, you pull them down and you build bigger ones. See, that sounds good. I mean, that sounds like it'd be a smart thing. But that's actually contrary to God's values. So I'm just showing you there's some things that are in our thinking that really that are contrary to scriptural principles. It is scriptural to save, but it's not scriptural to hoard or to put your dependence on what you have, to save in such a way that you're dependent on, I got to have this. I got to, you know, through Financial Peace University, we learned about an emergency fund. Well, I'm going to tell you that you can't possibly have a big enough emergency fund for all the things that could happen in your life. So you better make sure you have the emergency funder and have him on speed dial. It's good to have, you know, some money in the bank. It's good to have some assets. I'm not against that at all. But even more importantly, you better know how to trust God. And you better not be afraid to obey whatever He tells you to do. And that's where the rich young ruler was. He had done everything right except when he was challenged to quit depending on his own wealth, his own substance, his own stuff that he had. He jumped ship. I can't do that. Everything else I can do, but I still have to have my stuff to depend on. And that was a real test of whether he was trusting in God. So these are all these issues, we could talk about them in a lot of different ways, but they're really values issues. And so much of our lives are determined by our values. Now, here's where it comes into play for you and me. It's this. We're talking about one heart, one soul. We're talking about one accord. And here's the deal. We can't really be one if we don't share some values. That's really, when we're talking about being one, gathering around something, yeah, we have one mission, we have one vision, but really when you get down to the core of it, we value the same things. And see, I see people come in here to church. They'll come in here and they generally like the church. They generally like, you know, the teaching. They don't fit with the church. And you could, you know, and that doesn't make them a bad person. You know, this church isn't for everybody. It's for some people. But we have to share values. And if they don't share the same values that the church has, eventually it's not going to work out for them. I tell you, you know, this is good advice. And let me say this. If tonight you're sitting here and you're not married, you really need to listen to about what I'm going to say. Or if you have children who one day are going to get married, you really need to listen. Because I'm telling you, in finding a mate, the most critical thing in finding a mate is finding someone who has values that you share. Someone who shares your values. That's more important than having the same hobbies. It's more important, you know, when people talk about, well, we have so much in common. Well, let's get down to what is it we have in common. Oh, well, we really both like foreign films. Well, big whoop. That's not going to get you through life together. There's not enough foreign films that can get you through life together. Not through my life I've had. If that was what was holding us together, woo, we would have been done. You know what I'm saying? Well, we both really like Italian food. Well, good. Or not. But those are not the things that get you through. You common values. And that's why you have to spend a lot of time with somebody that you potentially see as a mate and not making out. Well, I just feel this strong connection. I'm just really, really attracted to. Really? That's chemical. They can reproduce that in a lab. Where did Anita go? She needs to hear this. You need to take her the CD. It's not about it. That's why you have to spend time with somebody, and you got to find out what's really going on in their heart, because that's where our values lurk, is down in our hearts. And you could even say to somebody, well, tell me, what are your values? But you aren't getting their values. You're getting what they want you to think are their values. How do you find out their values? Oh, you watch them. You spend time with them. You listen to them. You see what they do with their money. You see what they do with their stuff. You see, you know, what they do with their time. You see, you start seeing some things about them, but that takes time. You don't see that in the first couple of weeks, first couple of months. It takes a while to really find out what's in somebody, but that's what you're looking for. Maybe you don't know. I think people don't even know what they're looking for. Do I have the right feelings? Is that what I'm looking for? Well, I hope you have the right feelings. But here's the reality: you can have feelings about a lot of people. And relationships are not about feelings. Because if relationships were about feelings, then all of us in here who are married wouldn't be married to the person we're married to right now. Because we probably don't have that same feeling today that we did have that one day. You remember that feeling? Well, you know, you don't have that feeling every day. Matt and I have been married 25 years in a few weeks. And we had some really good feelings. I mean, some really good ones, Chris. We'll talk later. And we still have some really good feelings. But we don't have them every moment of every day. But you know what we do have every moment of every day? We have the same values. And that's really, really, really what brings you together and keeps you together. And it's what makes life, you know, makes you flow in the same direction. And why life is not a push and a pull. And I'm trying to go this way and you're trying to go that way. We haven't had that. We had huge differences in the natural. But yet, we had such similar values. And I look back, I think that's what did we value? Well, one of the things he and I value is we value family. And I know everybody values family, but we had a strong value for children, and we wanted to have a lot of kids. And we fell short of our goal, but we still had four. And about every third week, we talk about getting more from somewhere, but I'm not quite sure how that would work. We'll have spiritual children. But, you know, I mean, that was a really strong value. But if you have a really strong value, that was it. We got to follow the will of God. And, you know, so then for 25 years, we've been following the will of God together. And I'm telling you, that one thing trumps everything else. It trumps what I want. It trumps what he wants. It trumps the differences. It trumps, well, I'm mad and I'm, you know, I'm getting out of here. Or, you know, Matt was one day, we were just like, and, you know, and he mentioned something about that he might be leaving. And I'm like, fine, but you're taking those kids. You're not leaving me here with them kids. And so then he had to stay, because then we both left the kids and everything was better. Just kidding. But you know, you have values, and that following the will of God, because that's such a strong value for both of us, that we, no matter what else is going on, has enabled us to do a lot of things in our lives that we couldn't have done if we were with somebody else. You know, if we had been hooked up with somebody else, they didn't value following God as much, neither one of us would probably be in the ministry. I know people that are trying to be in the ministry, but their spouse doesn't share that value. I know women that way. I know men that way. And so they are miserable.
But it started long time ago when they were getting married. And she sure did look good. She was so sweet. She had the nicest family. And they had a lake house. And her mama could cook. And I don't know, I just had this feeling. Ah. But meanwhile, time goes on and things don't match. The most important thing that you can tell your kids that are, as they go out and look for their mate, is you've got to find out if their values match your values. And what are you willing to compromise on? And what's just you're not willing to compromise on? You understand? It's really critical. Now, I'll just say this. For those of you who are here that are married, I recommend you at some point in the next couple of weeks, I dare you to have a conversation with your mate where you really talk about heart matters and what really you value. Not because you're trying to convince them to take your values, but you're really just discovering what's going on. I mean, this is a really interesting conversation to have. There are some values that Matt and I both share very strongly, and there are some values that we don't share. And you know what? And those are points that those can be points of contention. Matt is very strong. Kristen, you'll identify with this. He's very strong. He values treating people very well and never, ever being rude. That's not that big a deal to me. I mean, I want to treat people well, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, that is a huge value for him. Is that true, Matt? And it's, you know, and so we have had times where I'm just like, you were way too nice. You just let that person take advantage of you because you were way too nice. And for him, it's this whole matter of rudeness. I'm not going to be rude. You see what I'm saying? So there are some things that cause tension when your values don't match up as much. So it's really interesting to just kind of talk about, and it's interesting for me to say, well, this seems to be really important to you. This is a value. I'll tell you one that I see in marriages sometimes where, for whatever reason, and let me just go to this. We haven't even gotten to our other scriptures. We'll get there one day. You tend to get the things you value from your family. You know, you can reject some of them as you get older. I know I've rejected things from my family. Matt's rejected things from his family. You probably have from yours. It's all part of growing up and learning and growing. But if you grew up in a family where timeliness was a huge value, were any of y'all raised in that family where timeliness was really important? Yeah. And so then timeliness becomes something to you. It takes on. I know people that timeliness is taken on to the point that it's just like unhealthy. I know one pastor, this pastor will not meet with somebody. Let me just say it this way. If we have a meeting, say, Gary, I was this pastor, and we were supposed to meet at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and you showed up at 2:02, I would say, sorry, you missed the meeting. Well, I consider that's rude. That's rigid, you know, because that's not, you know, that to me, you're just taking it way too far here. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a problem there. That's my opinion. But, you know, but if you were raised in a family where timeliness is really important, and then you were married to me, or, you know, because I'm always ish, you know, like, well, we'll meet at 3-ish. You know, it's all just kind of, there's this sort of time in there. Or maybe neatness. Where you're, you know, Matt and Maddie Sue, they're not here, I'll tell their story. Matt Stevens' house is neat, his family's house, it's neat as a pin. His mother vacuums every day, sometimes twice a day. And, I mean, it is neat, he is really neat and orderly. Well, last summer, before they married, he came here and lived with us for the summer, like to drove him nuts. He would just have to, and he's also very timely. He would get up in the mornings. He was going to be at work at 9. He'd get up. He'd be ready by 8:05, and he would just sit because he's ready to go. I'm thinking he's crazy. Nobody else is even up, and he's ready and sitting and waiting. See, he came from another, and that's just something then between the two of them they have to be aware of. You know, thankfully, he got one of the neater, more timely Judds. Thankfully, he didn't get her sister. Or there would be blood on the floor. But, you know, there's just some things. And there's people, you're raised a certain way. You know, whatever influence you have. And there's just certain things. That's really, you know, some people really believe cleanliness is next to godliness. I mean, it's a huge value for them. Not so much for us. It's okay. We have other good values. Don't criticize that. And in you know, for us, something that's really important, you'll know this when you hear it, fun. Fun is a strong value for me. And so I'm just always trying to bring that into whatever I'm doing, thinking about it. I just, you know, that's all part of it. But some people, it's like work and have fun later. And if I, you know, if I had to spend a lot of time with that, then we're going to have some conflict. I'm going to be really getting on your nerves. You see what I'm saying? These are really, what we're talking about are values that you have. Now, there's no right or wrong in your mind. My, you know, anything that doesn't match with your values, then I'm wrong about, I know, but not really. But there are some values that are really critical. And that's what Paul was talking about when he said that you would learn to sense what is vital, the things that are really important, like fun and excitement. All right, let's read a couple of more scriptures. Paul's writing here to the, we're in Philippians. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians if you never turn there. Because what I've discovered is the whole book of Philippians is about Paul's values. When you start reading through it, you see what he said in verse 10. He was praying that they would approve the things that are excellent and you know, that they would learn to sense what's vital, to approve and prize what is excellent and of real value. But then you go realize as you read through it, he's telling them what's really vital. And he's sharing with them things that are absolutely, you know, of real value. And this is what you need to be focused on. I'll just share some with you and we'll just be done with it. But he says here in chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, he says you should live worthy of the gospel. Now that's a value. Are you living your life worthy of the gospel? See, that's one of those things Matt and I had in common. That we knew that God had done a huge thing for us when he gave Jesus, and that our lives then should respond to that in a big way. That our lives would be different, drastically different than they would have been had we not, you know, come to the knowledge of the truth. If we had never been born again, the life that we were going to live in Christ was a whole different life, and we were going to give ourselves for that, whatever it meant. It just happened to be that after a number of years, it ended up that we were in full-time ministry. But that wasn't my plan at the beginning. You see what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. But you know, I believe that's true for every one of us, that we should be living our lives worthy of the gospel. And that should be a big value. And I tell you, for me, I don't know what else we'd be doing if we weren't doing that. What else is such a big deal? Because it ain't the bass boat. Or whatever all the other things are that we come up with. Chapter 2, verse 4, he tells us to look out for the interest of others. That's a big value, being interested for others. See, that's totally against the world. The world's about me. God's way, it's always the focus is on the other person, somebody else. What can I do for you? Chapter 2, verse 16, he says, hold fast the word of life. See, that's a huge value. Matt and I have that value. I'd never met anybody that valued the word like he did. That was just something that we, you know, and so in your life, is that something that, you know, I mean, it's Wednesday night. You're probably at least somewhat attached to the word. Philippians 3, verses 4 through 6. He lists there what he used to value. And then those were, he was talking about all his accolades in the flesh that he'd achieved. So that's what he used to value. And then verses 7 and 8, he gets to talking about how his values have changed. And nothing else compares to knowing Jesus. Nothing else compares to knowing him and the power of his resurrection. In other words, my whole life is about knowing him. That's it. That's what I value, knowing him. Not all these other things. And I just think, do most Christians have that as one of their core values, to know him? I just really wonder by the way we live our lives, the things we spend our time with, the, you know, our prayer lives. Because isn't that what prayer is getting to know him and fellowshipping with him? Philippians 4:8, when he tells us to think on these things, He's giving us some values. Things that are true, lovely, of good report. He's telling us what he values and what would really help you to value. So I could just go on. I won't, but this is my favorite quote. Harry told me one day, because I always read this quote to Harry so much. And I have it on my Facebook. It's one of my quotes. And I'm always talking to the kids about this quote. And Harry told me one time, he said, "Mom, I think you should find a way to work that quote into every message." And I don't, but maybe I should. And it's an awesome quote. And it says this. It's from a missionary who was in India and Philippines and Japan. And he said this: "Tell the students to give up their small ambitions and to come eastward to preach the gospel of Christ." Every time I read that, I mean, I'm just about to choke up, because he's saying, whatever you have going that you were going to do for yourself, it's small. Whatever it was, it's small. Give up your small ambitions and come do something for the cause of Christ. And I'm not, you know, saying we all have to go to India, the Philippines, or Japan. You might not go anywhere, but wherever you are, his cause should be your cause. That's what Paul was saying. That's the deal. It's all about him. For me to live is Christ. That's what he said. He's just telling you, this is what I value. Living for him. And I just think about us in this season of one. I wonder, you know, do the thing that will really attach you to others here, and the thing that we can rally around, really, it's our values, the things that we value. And I just want to read you some of our values. Common unity, otherwise known as community. And we see that as people who, you know, Matt talks about on Sundays, being friends with a cause. It's coming together for a purpose. We value empowerment, people actually growing and developing and learning who they are and what God called them to do, and using that for the real purpose, for the real the thing that's of most value, for the sake of the gospel. Which brings us to another value: passion for souls. Do you know a lot of churches don't have any passion for souls? And for some people, that's almost offensive, because they're really, what are you going to do for me? And they're not interested. And you know, we've had people come to this church and they're here for a bit, but they don't want to do anything. When it comes to reaching out, don't ask me to reach out. I'm just here. I need to be blessed today. Can you just, you know, give me a word from God today? And we're saying, no, man, you got to get up. You got to do something. You got to reach somebody. You got to do more than just be an example. You got to actually speak and give somebody the word. Well, I'm just one of those people that I just let my little light shine. And, you know, and that's, anytime somebody says that to me, I just want to go and blow it out, because that's all it is. Holy Spirit led. See, that's the thing that was just the number one thing that Matt and I had in common, that's really helped us so much, that God has a specific plan for us. And we are committed, not that we always get it perfect, for sure, but that's what our heart is. Let's just go with what God has for us. That's how we are here, you know. Miraculous power. See, some people find that offensive. Miraculous, but doing the stuff, and that every believer should do it. Open arms. You know, Sunday before last, Matt had an open arms message. Those of you who are here remember, he talked about a lot of things. It was amazing to me how much response that we got from that message, and it showed me that a common value that many people at Good News Church have is this value of open arms. That's important to a lot of people here. Some people don't like it. Do you know there's people that come to Good News Church and they sit in the chairs and they look around and they see people that don't look like them, and they get up and they leave and they think to themselves, I ain't going back over there. I don't want to go to church with people that aren't like me. Whereas my thought is, I don't want to go to church with people just like me. That'd be one sad church. It would be. Totally honest, it would be. Anti-religion. And we've made that up out of a lot of things, but just, we're not just business as usual with the whole ritual of Christianity, form of godliness. And then another one is stewardship. That's generosity. It's using your gifts that God's put in you. It's looking out for the welfare of others. It's making the most of what you got. Praise God. Well, we'll end there. Just wanted to bring that up tonight, this whole issue of values. Maybe we'll go from it. I don't know. But I really see how it fits. If you just think about some of your values, think about the values of the church. Do you value the things the church values? When I read through that list, some of those probably strike some of you. We've talked about it before. And I remember one service, Matt said, you know, if this is a strong value for you, raise your hand. It was so interesting what different people identified with the different values. I mean, even as I read through there, some of those are real, are just so strong in me. Some, I mean, all of them I believe in strongly, but some of them are like, man, I could fight you over them. You know, I could get really mad about it. If you tried to take this out of Good News Church, we'd have a problem. But then we have values as individuals, and I think it's just really critical that we all start examining some things about ourselves and seeing, what are we doing here? Are we really valuing what God values? And I just found that interesting that when y'all stand up, that as we read through what Paul was saying, that there's just some things there we don't need to miss. We don't need to just jump over to chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then down in verse 19 about how God will supply all of our need. There's some other things in there. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your goodness towards us. Thank you tonight that you've given us your word to reveal your nature, your very thoughts and intents and purposes. You've given us your word. And not only that, you've given us the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to us. And I just pray, Father, for all of us, that we would sense what is vital. We would be able to detect and to see what's of real value. We'd be able to look in our lives and see, Father, a reflection of what you value in our lives. And in places where we can't, we'd make some changes. We'd say, hey, help me out here. I need to get on track with you. I need to get in sync with you. And Father, I know there are people here tonight that there's maybe some things going on in their lives that they have that maybe are a little frightening, some things that have gotten out of hand. But Father, I know that there is, as we line up with your purpose and as we line up with what you're thinking, that things in our lives will straighten out. Peace will come. That there is peace. There's peace in following your ways. There's peace in thinking your thoughts. And I pray for us, Father, that we would have the ability, that we would be able to grasp what your thoughts are. And we'd be able to see your ways and walk in them. That's the heart of what Paul prayed so often for the churches and eventually for us. And we pray that, Father, for the people of Good News Church. Flood our hearts with light so that we can see and we can understand what's going on, who you are, who we are in you, and what the purpose is for us and what you desire for us and what you want to do through us. Father, enlighten us and help us to see what life is really supposed to be in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. Amen. Good night.